Okay. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in us the fire of your love. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Okay, consider for a moment, kind of based on the children's sermon, the word obedience. Kind of seems to become sort of a cuss word in our culture today. I mean, we as a society no longer seem to value obedience very much. I mean, we prize our independence, our freedom to do whatever we please, whenever we please, no matter the consequences that might affect another person. We don't stop to think that everything we do, whether we know it or not, has an impact on somebody else. There are circumstances. There are consequences. They can be positive consequences. They can also be negative consequences. But there are consequences for everything we do. So how can one be both free and obedient at the same time? You know, driving along a country road at night, we see a sign that tells us there's a sharp curve coming and that we need to slow down. Well, how dare anyone we've never met assume we don't have the skills to take a curve at whatever speed we like? Watch this. Okay, y'all, fess up now. How many of us have squealed around a sharp curve and crossed over the yellow line? Yeah. Or how many of us have ever passed another vehicle on a double yellow line? Oh, come on now, you're lying. All right. So what's called for in cases like this is obedience. Obedience to the law that has been established for our safety, and trust. Trust that someone has figured out the best course of action for us and given us the information we need to stay on track. Now, in our text from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus asked Simon Peter to trust him and obey him. Now, Peter's heard Jesus teach to the crowds. He's already on board with Jesus. We know this because Peter addresses him as Master. He just hasn't quite figured out the divine nature of Jesus, that Jesus somehow has direct connection with God. At least he hadn't figured it out yet, according to this account. I mean, he's committed to Jesus, but it's kind of a shallow commitment up to this point. There's no real reason for him to totally trust Jesus quite yet. And Peter and the others have been out fishing all night, and not for pleasure. This was their livelihood. This is how they made a living. And up to this point, they've caught nothing to speak of. They haven't caught anything at all. And they're tired, and they're dirty, and they're discouraged, and they're just looking forward to going home, even though they go home empty-handed. Meanwhile, Jesus has been teaching a growing crowd of people on the shore of the lake, and they were beginning to press in on him and forcing him actually to the water's edge. So Jesus spots Simon Peter's boat, asks him to take him out into the water a few yards so that he can continue his teaching. And then when Jesus is done teaching, he turns to Simon Peter and he says, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." Now keep in mind that Jesus was a carpenter by trade, not a fisherman. Simon Peter, on the other hand, was a professional fisherman. Jesus knew how to build houses and such. Simon Peter knew how to fish. And I think what Jesus was really asking Simon Peter and the others to do was to trust and obey. He's asking, do you trust enough to try again even when you would rather go home? Do you trust enough to throw your clean nets back into the water? Do you trust enough to do what I ask, even if it doesn't seem to make sense? Now, how many of us might have said, "Hey, look, Jesus, you're a great teacher and all, and you can build a mean dining room set, but you don't know diddly about fishing. Everyone knows that nighttime's the best time to fish. Once the sun comes up, the fish go deep because of the bright sun. Besides, we've just finished cleaning our nets. We're dog tired. We just want to go home. And I wonder if we don't sometimes have a similar conversation with Jesus in which we acknowledge that he knows something about spiritual matters. But when it comes to the practical, real life, day-to-day issues, we can handle things just fine. That he's great for all that kumbaya stuff on Sunday, but leave the actual running of our lives between Monday and Saturday to us. Instead, Simon Peter gives us one of the most subtle but significant lines in the whole Bible about true faith, trust, and obedience. Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Okay, here it comes. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets. In other words, I don't think there's a fish within a half a mile of here. But if you say go fishing, I'll go fishing. Yet if you say so, I love that line. Peter's telling Jesus that despite common sense and his personal desires, he'll do what Jesus says. He will trust. He will obey. He and the others let down their nets and hauled in so many fish that they almost ripped the nets and swamped the boats. Then in verse 8, Simon Peter has an epiphany, which is perfect for our season of the year, which and he recognizes for the first time in Luke's gospel who Jesus truly is. He falls to his knees and addresses him as Lord instead of Master. He says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." In verse 10, Jesus says, in effect, get on your feet, Simon. I've got much bigger plans for you than catching fish. From now on, you're going to be working for God, gathering people into the faith. And at that point, Simon Peter and James and John, the big three, drop everything. Everything they've ever known and done, and follow Jesus. Lots of reasons in this text, lessons in this text, but I'd like for us to take these three away with us as we leave today and go out and be disciples. First, God calls us, he is calling us as individuals and as a congregation into deep waters of ministry and evangelism. Second, don't give God instructions or excuses for that matter, just report for duty. And third, God doesn't call the qualified, God qualifies the called. Why should we be willing to launch out into deep waters with Jesus? Because he was willing to launch out into deep waters to catch us. One night outside Jerusalem, Jesus knelt in prayer and said, Father, actually said something like Daddy, if there is some way to fulfill your will other than my going to the cross, let me do that. Yet, if you say so, I will go. Not my will, but yours be done. God delights in our trustful obedience, but God does give us free will to choose a path of our own making. Let me know how that works out for you. Jesus is recording in John's gospel as saying, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Now, I've shared with many of you how God called me to ordain ministry, that my plan was to go back to teaching history after I retired from the Marine Corps. But God had a whole different idea for me. Naturally, my sense of self-destiny kicked in, and I fought God. I was trying to give God instructions for my life and excuses why I couldn't be a pastor. A lot of good that did. Finally, I just gave in and said, okay, Lord, if you say so, I'll do it. And then I reported for duty. And think a little bit and see if you can recall a moment in your own life when something like that happened. And if you come up with one, I'd love to hear about it. My own experience with being called, even though I felt most unqualified, is a perfect example of God not calling the qualified, but qualifying the caller, the called. The Bible's full of examples like that as well. Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, lots of others, all tried to make excuses why they couldn't answer God's call. Nice try, guys. So how about the rest of us? Do you sense some smoldering flame deep in your gut that won't leave you alone, even if you haven't eaten any of John Babbitt's food? Is there something in you that tells you you'd really like to do something special for God's glory, and maybe you're hesitating to report for duty? Now, I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. I really am not. I'm trying to share with you what my experience with God's call on has been for me, and to do my job, which is to help you identify God's call on your own life. And obviously, I'm not suggesting that the only way to we can answer God's call is through ordained ministry. Oh, no. There are lots of opportunities to serve around here. Everything from making phone calls and visits to praying for specific people and specific needs to helping at the office or working in one of our many outreach ministries. We could also use some more voices in the choir. So as, not whenever, as God calls you and me to go into deep waters, let's not give God instructions or excuses. Let's just report for duty. God's proven to us in countless ways that we can trust God to place us where we're most needed. So go home this morning. Strengthen your nets. Patch your boats. Trust and obey Jesus. Put your nets out and see what blessings you will catch through your trust and obedience. See what effect you will have on other people's lives. And listen to this very carefully now. Someone once said, you can gauge the size of a ship that has passed out of sight by the size of the wake it leaves behind. You can gauge the size of a ship that has passed out of sight by the size of the wake it leaves behind. How big a wake will you and I leave? To me, that's the litmus test for a life well lived for God. Amen.